On Christmas Eve each year, we read Luke's account of the birth of Jesus. I suspect for all of us, probably, it's very familiar. Luke includes many of the characters represented in our creche. The shepherds who keep watch over their flock, the heavenly host proclaiming glory to God in the highest heaven, Mary, Joseph, the baby Jesus, all in the manger with the animals. I think it's really Luke's account of the Nativity that largely informs what we think of as the Christmas story. And certainly it provides a script for many Christmas pageants. But that's Christmas Eve. On Christmas morning, we don't read that story from Luke, but instead we read the prologue to John's Gospel, which really in that Gospel functions as the Christmas narrative. But boy, it couldn't be more different from Luke. We don't have those familiar characters, but what we do have are these lofty, soaring words, rich with theological meaning, informed by Greek philosophy. Scholars think that perhaps part of this might have been an early Christian hymn that then was incorporated into the text. The prologue opens John's Gospel, and it articulates the origins of the longed-for Messiah. John tells us that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God from before time. The Word, in fact, is God. Everything that exists came into being through the Word present at creation. These words bring to mind the opening of the book of Genesis, where God speaks all of creation into being. The eternal Word brings to birth everything that is, and then pronounces all that is created good. This is, in a way, John's creation account, but unlike Genesis, it's not the first creation. It is an account of the re-creation. The recreation that comes about through the incarnation, when God enters in human flesh, enters into human life and history. That image of creation renewed and restored, of a world recreated, we hear throughout our lessons this morning. In the prophet Isaiah, we hear Isaiah proclaiming that God's salvation has come. Because of God's victory, even the ruins of Jerusalem lift up their voice. All the ends of the earth see the salvation of our God. And then in that beautiful psalm, sing to the Lord a new song, the psalmist asserts that the whole creation is singing. Singing that new song for the marvelous things that God has done. We have singing, we have playing of instruments, the rivers and hills sing out in joy, there's even clapping. The Word comes to redeem and to make all creation new. In the incarnation of God, all of creation is again pronounced good. All people are pronounced good. Beloved of God. Everyone is loved by God and is worthy of love by one another. God coming among us shows us the deep love that God has for humanity. In that baby Jesus, we see the eternal Word stooping to put on human flesh, the Creator of all things accepting the limitations of human existence. The Creator coming to dwell with the creation. God puts on human flesh, that human flesh might then be lifted to the very throne of God, into the divine life of God. The Word entering human existence is the light of God, John tells us, the light that comes into the world. And that light, he says, is life. It is powerful. The darkness will never extinguish it. John's prologue reminds us that in being born the child of Bethlehem, God has ushered in a new age, one in which the old order passes away, one in which the status quo will be overturned. Money and military might will not triumph. Injustice will end. The poor, the hungry, the oppressed, the forgotten will know the hope and promise of God's reign in their lives. And the rich will be set free from slavery to their wealth and their possessions. This is the light that comes into the world when the Word becomes incarnate. And this is the light by which we walk even now, the light that illumines our path, that shines to all places of violence and hatred and division, and offers love and compassion and healing. It is the light of God's love through which we are called to love one another and all of creation. John assures us the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and in that Word we see God. No longer God is remote, far off. Now God is with us in human flesh. God has a face we can see. God is near, coming right to where we are, dwelling among us. That word dwelling is an interesting one. In the original Greek, it literally means pitched his tent. Interesting image. In the incarnation, God camps out with us wherever we are. God moves with us wherever we go. This image recalls the people of Israel wandering in the wilderness with the Ark of the Covenant, that presence of God, how it travels with them, and then when they rest, it's placed in a tent, God dwelling with them. But now, God is not confined to one place. God is with us wherever we are. God comes to the human, to the heart of human existence, seeking us out, setting things right, ushering in a transformation of the entire creation, leading humanity to the promised land, to the very throne of God in eternity. At Christmas, God comes among us in the person of Jesus to lift us above the sin and the suffering of this world. God accepts the limitations of being human in order to lift humanity to the divine life, lifting humanity into the very heart of the Trinity. Just as God comes to us in the incarnation, so God lifts us to the divine life of love. During the seasons of Advent and Christmas, I read a collection of writings by Anglican writers. And last week, there was a passage from a book called The Spirit of Prayer by William Law. And Law reflects on the immeasurable gift that God gives us in coming among us in the baby of Bethlehem and lifting us to the divine life of God. I quote, "Poor sinner, consider the treasure that you have within yourself. The Savior of the world, the eternal Word of God, lies hidden in you as a spark of the divine nature, which is to overcome sin and death and hell within you and generate the life of heaven again in your soul. Turn to your heart, and your heart will find its Savior, its God within itself. You see, hear, and feel nothing of God because you seek for God abroad with your outward eyes. You seek for God in hooks, in controversies, in the church, in outward exercises. But there you will not find God till you have first found God in your heart. Seek for God in your heart, and you will never seek in vain." Unquote. Many centuries ago, Jesus was born, that baby in Bethlehem. And this morning, Jesus is born in us, in you, in me. Jesus comes to dwell within us, bringing divine light to us, lifting our hearts to the throne of God. God no longer remote and far away, but right here, right now, where we are. Jesus also comes to us each time we celebrate the Eucharist, present to us in the signs of bread and wine. As we receive the bread of the Eucharist this morning, we hold in the palm of our hand the Creator of the universe, the eternal Word of God, the one who comes among us to transform us, to lead us into the fullness of divine life, into the divine life of the Trinity, the life of light and love. And so on this Christmas morning, let us claim that high calling, walking always in the light of God and reflecting that light to the world through our words, our actions, and our deeds. Let us live as the beloved children of God that we are, and love all people as God loves us, and see each of us as the beloved child of God. And let us rejoice with great joy this morning, singing with the whole of creation in thanksgiving for the great gift we are given. God comes among us in the Holy Child of Bethlehem, and we, with all people, with the whole of creation, are redeemed. For this, let us give great thanks and shout with joy. I want to close with a favorite text of mine. It's a poem called Christmastide by the 19th century poet Christina Rossetti. It's also one of our Christmas carols and one of my favorites. Love came down at Christmas, love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas, star and angels gave the sign. Worship we the Godhead, love incarnate, love divine. Worship we our Jesus, but wherewith for sacred sign? Love shall be our token. Love be yours and love be mine. Love to God and all men. Love for plea and gift and sign.